He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
We are in Exodus chapter 16. We are continuing the journey through Exodus as they journey through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. We're kind of following them on this journey these last almost couple months now. It's kind of been our summer project, if you will, just following the Israelites, but finding indeed that in their story is very similar to our story. A reminder for us through their lives that God is still at work among us. As I've been prone to say each week in the name of the series, God isn't finished yet. That sometimes while we're going, there are things that get in the way. Sometimes what gets in the way seems to be outside obstacles affecting us. Sometimes it's our own doubts and insecurities. But realizing and seeing that God finds ways to speak to us and still work among us is great. To have our eyes open to ways in which God is moving among us allows us to see that God's providence, that is, His continual ongoing care, is present with us. And so here we are in Exodus chapter 16. And they have, as you remember from last week, they have just escaped the Egyptians. The Red Sea was parted, the wind blew, they went across on dry ground, and they were saved from the oncoming Egyptian army, which had changed its mind about letting them go. Learning that day that God often works, sometimes in perfectly logical explanations, but sometimes in very unusual ways, but always at the perfect time to bring us where He is leading us. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16 together, and we'll read that. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day, gather enough for that day. And in this way, I will test them. And I'll see whether they'll follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they're to prepare what they bring in. And that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days." And so Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because He's heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when He gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because He has heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." And then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for He has heard your grumbling.'" And while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert. And there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." And that evening quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The Israelites are on a journey, and they immediately are starting to doubt everything that has happened. I mean, it's amazing that they're going to ask for a sign. I mean, they just had a pretty big sign walking across the Red Sea, right? And they are remembering back to where how things were. And they said, "If only we had died there. I mean, at least we had food there." I mean, they were enslaved, but they're looking back and saying, "I remember how good it was." I mean, but it's amazing how we do that, right? We look back on previous times with great fondness. Doesn't matter how hard it was. Now, I loved the early years of our marriage, the early years of parenting, but I remember how hard it was that first year of Eric's life. Being a new parent is fun. I mean, I remember, I look back fondly, I was in my 20s, I was in school, surrounded by like-minded fellow students. We were living in the first big city away from either of our parents. We were out on our own, had true independence. But you know what? It was hard. I shared with you last week the story about how we didn't have any money at all, and someone gave me $20, and it's exactly what we needed for the car repairs that came by that day. I mean, it was hard not having any resources to do anything with. I remember I was working second shift on top of being a full-time student. I would go to school, come home. Jen would come home from work, and I'd say, "Here's Eric," and I'd go off to school, and we were like ships passing in the night, or I'd go off to work, I mean, and then I'd come back to work between 11 and 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd try to get some sleep, and Eric didn't sleep through the night for the first 6 months of his life, and so like I was so exhausted, we're so poor, but you know what? I wouldn't take any of that back. I'm not saying I want to rush back to it, but I wouldn't take any of that back. It was important times. But we also often look back on those times fondly, don't we? I mean, it's the nature of humanity. It doesn't matter how hard it was. It doesn't matter what difficulties we had. We look back and say, oh, remember then? I mean, so our hard times are often washed over by whatever good we can recall or whatever good we had in that moment. And so in some ways, as much as I want to give the Israelites a hard time here for what they're saying to Moses, come on, you were enslaved. Yeah, you had food, but you worked day in, day out, every single day for it. Are you really, really looking that endearingly towards it? But we do that. But through that grumbling, the Lord hears them. This is good news for us. Because I think a lot of times what we think about God, what we think about our Heavenly Father is, well, I probably shouldn't complain. We talk about His blessings, we talk about His provisions, and maybe that's all God wants to hear from us too, is our thanksgiving for what He has done. Without a doubt, I think it is great. That's called praise, right? When we say to God, thank you for what you've done. God, we acknowledge the blessings you've given us. God, I want to honor you and just share with you that I am appreciative of what you've done. That kind of praise is important, right? It's the kind of things we do for one another. Whether it's how we encourage children that we're raising or how we build friendships. You know, it's a part of what we do in healthy relationships. But the Lord is one who is able to hear us at our worst moments. And this is good news too, because He is someone who we can come to with whatever is coming against us and know without a doubt that He'll hear that. And that when He hears that, that He starts to move and He starts to act. And so He says to Moses and He says to Aaron, each day I'm going to provide something for them. And they're going to go out and they're going to gather. They're going to have bread. They're going to have meat. And He says, and this is what I want them to do. Now, what He says about them, about having it for 6 days and gathering a little bit, it's just a little abbreviation of basically what's going to happen the rest of the chapter. I didn't read the rest of that. It's all the details about how they're supposed to gather the bread, how they're supposed to gather the quail, how they're supposed to share it. And ultimately, I just want to sum up. There's basically two major points here. One is there is a daily gathering. That the kind of work they're supposed to do is that they're supposed to gather the bread each day for that day. And there's an important lesson in that as well. And that is that you are not supposed to hoard what God has provided you to keep more for yourself so that there's less for somebody else. There's a very important lesson in that. The people of God are just called to gather what they need and to help others gather what they need. That in hoarding, what happens is it creates a very unbalanced system. And they have just left a country where that was known for notoriously hoarding wealth. They hoarded wealth so much so for the Pharaoh that even when he died, all that wealth didn't go to the next king. It didn't go to the society. It got buried in his tomb. I mean, this is what they did. And they had the most elaborate tombs for him. And so their entire country was built around creating this wealth system for them. In fact, even those very tombs, their slavery system was in large part to make sure that this display of wealth persisted. I mean, this is a part of what that culture was. And what he's saying is, as you go out and as God provides, do not hoard, because it creates, again, systems in which there's one... When there are enslaved people And there are people who are far too high on the top of the pyramid. These liberated people are supposed to stay liberated. And that happens by the avoidance of this hoarding. Now, this doesn't mean we can't ever be wise with the resources God has given us, right? I mean, you can compare this to the very beginning of the story, right? With Joseph who rises to prominence and helps Egypt remember, hey, there's a famine coming. And we're going to gather in order to provide for the country and the surrounding countries. And so there is value in kind of that wise saving. But the point of it is still to be able to share and live in a healthy way with one another. It's why we call giving in the church a spiritual discipline. It is the very practice of letting go of that which we have already accumulated. But the second point in that about how they're supposed to gather the quail and they're supposed to gather the bread is he says, on the sixth day, you're going to do it twice as much. And the reason for that is on the seventh day, you're not gathering anything. The seventh day is a day of rest, and this is important. It's important to get in habits of work and get in patterns of health for yourself, but you also have to have a pattern of recognizing that we are not robots. We are not just people who can do the same thing every day, day in and day out, without in some way losing a part of our humanity, of going crazy, of losing your mind, of saying, oh, I just need a break. To work every single day, day in and day out, is once again to enter into the very slavery that Jesus has saved his people from. And so he says, do extra on the sixth day so that you don't have to work the seventh. You need a moment to say, oh, there's a reason for why we do what we do. You need a moment to be able to recognize that you are far more than just your ability to produce. That is important for us to remember sometimes when we live in a world and an economy that is all about production. So, hearing this word from the Lord, they decide to share this with the people. Moses calls Aaron to gather the assembly because remember, Moses doesn't like to talk. He's afraid of how much he stutters or he's afraid he doesn't speak very well. So God provided Aaron. So Aaron gathers the assembly and shares with them this good news. God has heard your grumbles and he's going to provide for you. There's going to be bread. There's going to be meat. This is going to be great. And so here he is. And while Moses is speaking, they say, wait a minute. We see a sign that it's that cloud. It's that pillar again. We saw that when we crossed the Red Sea. We saw that when it moved between us and the Egyptians. And for just a moment, they're like, he really has heard. He really has heard our grumblings. We see a sign again, a moment, a perfectly natural moment where they can say, wait a minute. This reminds me of what God is about. For us to remember that there are signs in the midst of the day of which God says, remember my promises, remember my faithfulness. That sometimes God shows up in just simple, easy moments in life where you say, ah, God wanted to remind me today that he's still looking out for me, that he still has a plan for me. While Aaron is speaking, they see that sign. They see that pillar-shaped cloud again, and they're reminded of that moment when they are saved from the Egyptians. Do not discount the reminders God puts in our lives. Sometimes perfectly natural moments that serve as benchmarks to our life. As we know, there are students getting ready to go off to school, some to just the new year, some to that big new step to college. Don't forget whatever transition you might have in life today, whether it's as a student or something else going on in life right now. Don't forget the ways that there is a God who just might reveal himself. And he just might reveal ways in which he had proved himself to us in the past. There is a God who will show up and remind you that the God who was faithful before will be faithful today. That if you are getting right, whether you are entering the hardest moment of life or the best moment of life, to remember that there is a God who is still with you. And a God you can always turn to, whether there is grumbling or whether there is praise, to know that there is a God who isn't finished with you yet. That evening, they camp out and the quail come. And this is going to provide for them all the meat that they need. It's not the best, it's not the fat and chickens we can get in the grocery store, but it's good, and you can eat on that. When I was a kid, I remember in junior high school, my dad would take me hunting. Sometimes we did some like grouse and pheasant hunting, we'd hunt, and we get this. It wasn't my favorite meat, but it provided meal. We brought it back, and we were able to cook that and eat that. In the morning, in the evening, they had the quail, they had the protein they needed for their journey. And in the morning, there were these thin flakes on the ground that appeared on the desert floor. This served as their bread. And they said, "What is this? What is this?" Now the Hebrew word for "what is that?" is manna. It literally means, "What is it?" It's like if I showed you a chocolate bar and you said, "What is that thing called?" I said, "I don't know. It's that one thing. That whatchamacallit. That's it." Like we have a candy bar that kind of like it, they could have just called itself manna or something, you know? like that's literally what it means. Like, what is this thing? And no one knows what's in that candy bar, right? Like it's like there's just no good name for it. But that's the same kind of thing for them. They don't have a name for what this is. And because there's no good description of what it is, there's been all kinds of ideas, all kinds of thoughts about what could this be. There have been studies and people have looked at, well, I know there's some unique kind of insect secretions that are high in carbohydrates and sugar that end up blanketing some of the vegetation in the area, that could be it. And so there's been all kinds of like hypothesis about what is happening. But again, the point here is this. At a time when the people of God needed it most, and they cried out to God, and they said, "We don't know if we can go much further. And to tell you the truth, the way life used to be is looking real good right now." God entered into their life, provided what was necessary to sustain them, and would help them take the next journey in their life. I want you to know a couple things today. For whatever is coming our way, whatever the next step in our journey might be. One is this: God is big enough for our grumbling. God is big enough for whatever concerns that we might have. Ask God in those moments, when you're grumbling to God, when you're saying, "I don't know why things are the way they are," don't forget the God who has led you out of places before, who has helped you in the past. And in those moments when it seems like, "God, do you know what you're doing? Or God, are you still there? Because I haven't seen a sign in a long time." Know this: God is big enough to hear that. He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't say, "Oh man, here's Tim crying out again, grumbling again. Can't believe he can't stop complaining." God hears it. But in those moments when we cry out to God, to be able to say in that moment of prayer, "Okay, God, now I've cried out to you, and what might you have for me? Now, how do you want me to respond? I'm asking for you to respond, and now how do I join you in this?" And it starts to change. It changes demeanor, it changes attitude, and all of a sudden it just changes who we are. Ask God by what He has for us. Not just on the outskirts that we can accumulate, but what He has for us inside as well. God is big enough to hear our complaints. I'll share this story. So one of the most formational moments for my life was in one of the churches we went to. There was often a period of testimony, probably like once a month. So we'll have to do this again soon. Where people could share what God was doing in their life. And so people would stand up and say, "Here's how I've seen God this week," or "Here's how I've seen God this last month," or whatever, recently in my life. And it'd be a moment for the congregation in worship to give a word of testimony. And I remember one Sunday, my mom, who I know you guys just met last week, my mom stood up and she said to the church for her testimony, she says, "To tell you the truth, I haven't heard him in a long time. And I don't know where he's at. And I don't know what to do with the testimonies I'm hearing because it's been so quiet for so long." And the church, as the body of Christ, heard that cry. They gathered around her, not just that day, in the days to come. And they met her where her need was. And her life and her faith started to take a drastically new direction. Not overnight, but through the constant care and provision that they were providing. God is big enough to hear our crying out, no matter where and when it is. The second thing I love to say about this passage of Scripture is learn to see God in the little things. Learn to see that God provides for us sometimes in the very little things. The manna, the quail, people would say, oh wow, just how serendipitous is this? What a coincidence that all of a sudden we're taken care of. No, they recognize God was in this. And there are going to be moments where it's just like, wow, something really came along my way for once. Or again, whatever the circumstance is. And to be able to say, I think God was in this. And God is moving. This is an example of God's provision. God providing His grace again and again. My example for this, maybe one I've shared before. I'm going to go back to my past. Jen and I, newly married. And we've been married about a month. And we're back in the apartment. We're going on the honeymoon. We're back in the apartment. Jen's got a job, and it's like June. It's the summertime, and I got to find a job. And I'm praying, God, I don't know, you know, what you have for us. We just got back, and I don't know what to do. I'm praying for a job. Like I'd gotten up for breakfast, open up the fridge. It's empty. It's bare. I mean, I look in there. I'm like, okay, well, I got this old like this one singular serving container of like Mott's applesauce. I put that up. And I put that on the table. Like the refrigerator's bare. We got nothing. And I thank God for the food, just a little Mott's applesauce. And I say, God, help me find a job today. And open it up and I eat it. And then there's a knock on the door. And a neighbor had said, it's just simple. A neighbor had said, hey, you had told me you were looking for a job. And I just heard an ad on the radio talking about UPS hiring. And they're, you know, just on the other side of town. Maybe you should give them a call. I said, okay, I will. And it's just simple. Like, and he said to me, he said, I just felt God telling me I should knock on the door and tell you about this. And I was like, okay, we're college students. We don't do anything in the morning. But yeah, that morning, he knocked on my door. And so I called. And back then, like, you didn't have insurance. If you got married and moved out of your parents' house, you didn't have insurance anymore. But UPS was a job where I could work part-time while being a full-time student that year and offered us insurance. And all of a sudden, it seemed like, God, you answered right after that prayer. God, you're providing in ways where I could just say, oh, I'm glad that friend was nice. But maybe God provides in those little things. And to recognize and see that and say, okay, God, I can trust you now and what the next step is going to be. And I can trust you're not finished yet. Let's remember today, God is big enough for what concerns us. And let's look to see, oh yeah, there's that sign. There's God again. There's the rights. It was in the cloud. It was in the quail, it was in the manna, whatever that is. And trust that God is with you today too. And what concerns you, whatever it is, God is in the manna. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today I want to say thank you. Thank you for your constant provisions. The story of Exodus is one of big moments, miraculous moments. And Lord, sometimes I think that's what we look for in our life as well. The big moments, the proven moments, the moments where we would say, without a doubt, that must be you. But Lord, sometimes it's just in the constant care. It's in the simple moments where we just get to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your constant provision. Lord, we will trust in you. Lord, I want to thank you today that you have been kind to me when I have been that grumbling person. When I've cried out to you and said, Lord, why? Why do we have to deal with this again? Or Lord, why are circumstances the way that they are? And you are the God who hears that. Throughout my life, Lord, you have been patient through the grumbling. And Lord, it has been a lifetime of realizing that you're not finished yet, that you're still the God who's providing for us. And so, Heavenly Father, wherever we are today, I thank you that we can come and worship you and say thank you again for the ways in which you constantly meet our needs. And Lord, help us to see that you are at work in the day-to-day, in the small joys, in the small reliefs, that you are there. And help us, Lord, to give you thanks for that and allow those small moments to be a catalyst for a life that is given over to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.